Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of The Optimism Show. Today, as our guest, we have Max Segal from Privy, which has raised over $18 million in VC funding over the last couple of years. With Max, we're going to discuss a few different topics, from how to know when is the right time for your startup to raise funds, to the biggest mistakes founders make when building blockchain companies, and why waiting for the right market validation is crucial before seeking funding. And also, Max is covering a lot of the aspects of what it takes to really manage a funded startup and how to manage the vision of your startup throughout the entire process. Let's get started. Max, thank you for being here. Can you tell us a bit more about your story, how you got and actually ended up building Privy, and really your background in that sense?
For sure. Yeah. So thank you for having me. Great to be here. And my story is, to start my story, it starts in TradFi. I started my career at an investment bank, which is where I worked for a few years, advising, you know, traditional tech and media and telecom companies on, you know, how to IPO, how to raise capital, how to manage an acquisition. Then I went to an investment fund where I was investing in tech companies. And then I found my way to Brex, where I spent the 4 years before I was at Privy. Brex is a fintech company. So for the first 10 or so years of my career, I was very close to traditional financial infrastructure. And while at Brex, I was very close to money movement. And I saw how, you know, what was one of the most innovative fintech companies at the time and today, still largely built on these legacy payment rails, and, you know, how much cost the world incurs because of how inefficiently money moves around and how inefficient the financial systems really are. And that's what was like the light bulb moment for me with crypto. Really wrap my head around how big a deal things like instant settlement and having a really truly digital payment rail can be, and how much cost to the world could be, you know, obsolete if crypto really delivers on this promise of instant settlement. And so I got hooked on the idea of crypto. I knew I needed to work in this industry in some way, shape, or form. And the deeper I went into crypto, the more I kept coming across this problem of user onboarding, wallet infrastructure, identity. And I just realized, like, if you believe in crypto long term, a company that looks like Privy is going to be, you know, an important part of the stack and an enduring piece of value. And so I found, you know, Privy's co-founders, Henry and Osto, who I think are the right people to build this shape of business. And, you know, we got started a bit over 2 years ago now, and it's been an amazing journey since.
That's amazing. So it's like really going from investment banking to the crypto space and the future of finance in the first place. But with Privy, like, I also agree with you, like, it's definitely a company that, especially as crypto gets more commonplace, is something that helps so many other blockchain companies. And you really actually address one of the main challenges that blockchain companies have in the first place, which is like really onboarding the users. Like, so far, like, having onboarded over 3 million users with Privy at the moment of this recording, I'm sure that you're onboarding tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands at any given time. What are the main mistakes that you see blockchain companies do when they try to get more users and eventually onboard them, that you address with Privy as well?
Yeah. So when we were getting started, there was this like divide in the crypto world where you had apps that were either catering to a crypto native audience. You had apps, you know, DeFi was a big category here where it was, you know, really like, we don't need to serve people who don't care about crypto. Everything is going to be sort of external wallet centric. You sign in with your MetaMask or your Coinbase wallet and you use the app, and it's just a very crypto native experience. Like, the guts of crypto were front and center for the user. And that shape of app made a lot of sense then, and it does now, because most of the usage in crypto and most of the value, like the users who were actually moving, you know, large amounts of money and, you know, being the sort of user that the app could get value from, were crypto native. And so most apps, when we were getting started, sort of looked and felt that way. But the universe of people who are, you know, willing to use an external wallet and willing to get up the learning curve enough to interact with those apps is small. And our take is going to stay small forever. And so if you want to build an app that caters to ultimately millions of users, you need a way of making the UX more familiar to people who are never going to take the time to use a MetaMask or a Coinbase wallet. So you had this other population of apps that were like really trying to abstract as much of the crypto away from the user as possible, have, you know, like an email sign-in experience, never mention the wallet, really hide like as many of the building blocks as possible. And unfortunately, when we were getting started, like the population of users that were willing to use like that kind of app was also small. And so you had these like two sides of the market, and apps were either really trying to cater to crypto natives or crypto newcomers, but there wasn't like a great experience to just say, you know, a user is a user, come use the app. This is a very like arbitrary point in time distinction that we think is going to go away over time. Just build a great user experience and don't think so much about, am I catering to crypto natives or crypto newcomers? And so when we built Privy, like a big part of our value prop in the beginning, which was unique in the market at the time, was, you know, we served apps the ability to onboard a user, whether it was a user who wanted to sign in with an external wallet or a user who wanted to sign in with email. You just come to the app, you sign up, and you can get going. And it doesn't matter where the user is in their crypto journey, they could just use the app. And we think that, you know, that reframing allows the app just to focus on building a great consumer experience that's fun to use and that gives users value. And since we got started, we've seen so many apps embrace that. So that was sort of one big change we've seen in the crypto landscape since we got started. And then the other thing we've observed is it's important for developers to like really think hard about why they're building on crypto rails. When we were getting started, the market was as frothy and hot as it's ever been. And so just by building on crypto rails, there was enough attention on the space and interest that you were able to sort of get a lot of buzz and usage just by saying we're doing something in crypto. But when that went away and the attention on the market faded in the depths of like 2022, you had to really think hard about like, okay, what benefit am I getting from building on crypto rails? And if you couldn't answer that question well, like maybe your app doesn't belong on crypto rails. And so for us, like the two big superpowers you get from building on crypto infrastructure are interoperability. So the fact that, you know, context in one app can be permissionlessly built into other apps. Like my NFT on OpenSea can be sold on any other NFT marketplace. That's a really cool, powerful thing that can supercharge crypto apps. And then this idea of self-custody and ownership is the other like really powerful benefit that you get from building on crypto rails. And so another common mistake is, you know, apps building on crypto infra that weren't like really leaning into those benefits and creating a unique experience that wouldn't be possible outside of crypto rails.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with you. Like really a lot of founders need to ask themselves, especially developers, like we all know that blockchain is an absolutely magnificent technology, but is the app supposed to be built on the blockchain? Or are you really using that as an excuse just to sound fancy? Which I think that especially in this, personally, my opinion is that especially in this current market, as the market progresses and everything, and investors in general get more actually savvy in the sense of understand the, like really good look for the long term of projects. Like all those words like, oh, we're just a blockchain company and all the companies that don't necessarily communicate well what even they do just because they're on blockchain. I completely agree with you that it's going to get tough for some of them, and especially apps like Privy could help bridge that gap in the first place. And when it comes to like, because right now, especially as the market is, like, it's been fluctuating for a long time, and I really predict that in the coming months, a lot more founders will start coming more to the blockchain space. When you founded Privy in the first place, like, what are some things that you really learned along the way that you didn't know before, that you believe that first-time founders in the blockchain space or developers of apps should really consider when starting their blockchain startup or scaling it eventually?
Yeah, so the question is, what are important qualities for crypto founders?
I would say, like, what are the important qualities, and also primarily focusing on what are the main lessons you learned throughout the way that you believe that other founders should really hear about so they can avoid certain things or like really save themselves a lot of time.
Yeah. So, I mean, one pattern, which is something that gets repeated a lot with like founder advice, but I think is just so real and valuable, is like this idea of founder market fit, and sort of why are you like uniquely well suited to build the business you're trying to build? And so like there was just so many great examples around, you know, Privy's customers. So Blackbird is a restaurant loyalty app. I think this is probably like the best example of founder market fit. Their founder is the person who founded Resy and Eater and is super deep in the restaurant space. And for context, Blackbird is a restaurant loyalty app where users get rewarded for dining at their favorite restaurants, and they could redeem perks at those restaurants with the rewards they earn on the platform. And, you know, a lot of people have had versions of this idea of building a loyalty network using crypto infrastructure. But the hardest thing to do is to get the supply side bought in and on the market. And so to get like all of the hottest restaurants in New York City participating in this program and promoting it so that everyone who dines at the restaurant is using the app is like by far the hardest challenge in building a company like that. And so you need someone with the credibility and relationships and market intuition like Blackbird's founder Ben has in order to stand up that business. And so that's just like such a great example of founder market fit. Another one that we love is receipts.xyz. It's a new up and coming app, similarly shaped to Blackbird, but for the fitness market. And the founders of that company are super well connected in the fitness world. They've been going unreasonably deep on how the wearable space works and how to get fitness data into the app reliably and how to gamify some of the fitness interactions. And so just Victor and Steph are another great example of incredible founder market fit. So that's what I saw really with Henry and Asta, you know, our Privy's co-founders. Henry spent the first stretch of his career building a consumer app, a YC-backed consumer app. And then the second pre-Privy stretch of his career building a lot of the protocol underpinnings of protocol labs with IPFS and Filecoin. And so being able to marry like the consumer app founder empathy with all of the crypto infra knowledge and credibility to stand up Privy was like, I thought, one of the most powerful examples of like founder market fit for this type of business. And, you know, why I think, you know, Privy is in like a good position to build something around this space.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Actually, like, a lot of people don't even look into that when going after a certain industry. Like, it's important for founders to even look. Don't just jump on the trend, but there's money everywhere. So just ask yourself, where do you need to fit in? Like, where is your best place in the first place?
Totally.
And like, for the founders that are already in, for the actual apps that already existing on the blockchain and similar, like, there's all this different, like, there's so much noise about how they can get users, how they can get more non-crypto native users in the first place. What are some things, especially without complicated marketing strategies and stuff, what are some things that throughout your crypto journey, throughout your blockchain journey, that you noticed work really well for companies to onboard more users to actually attract a real audience and to keep the audience eventually.
Yeah, the most successful apps we've seen kind of tap into some organic behavior that exists outside of crypto and just makes that behavior better with crypto. So a great example of that is one of our customers, Courtyard. They're a physical asset marketplace where users can buy and sell trading cards, physical trading cards. So if I want to sell Pokemon card, a valuable Pokemon card on Courtyard, list it, they actually will vault the physical card, tokenize it, and list it on all the popular NFT marketplaces. And so if I'm selling a card, I could tap into a much bigger buyer pool than if I were just doing it on a point marketplace that was off-chain. So I can probably get a much higher price for the card I'm selling. And then at any point, you know, someone who wants to buy the card, they can either hold the card virtually or they could redeem it back for the physical card. And so it takes this like trading card market, which is, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry with millions of people who are absolute fanatics about this. And it just makes it better by bringing it on chain. It's a better experience. Both sides of the market get more value out of it. And so the value prop, like, it just makes sense if you're a card trader and you see it. And they've been able to attract a ton of usage just by being like a better alternative to something a lot of people like to use. Another great example is Zora. They are one way to think about Zora. There's so much intricacy to their business, but like one way to think about it is like just an on-chain Instagram. So like Instagram has a ton of users. What if when you upload content to Instagram and people like it, you earn some reward as a part of that? And that's like really what Zora is tapping into. And when creators, people who use these platforms, like really wrap their head around like what Zora is solving, that just drives so much usage because it's like a better alternative to something that billions of people are using today. And so I think like the most special moments in crypto are when teams can tap into, here's a behavior, here is an app, a tech that millions of people are obsessed with already. And by putting it on crypto rails, it just becomes better. And as soon as that is understood by the pocket of the market that the original app is serving, that drives so much usage. And the cool thing about crypto is, you know, once something works and once something captures, you know, a pocket of the crypto market's attention, you have the most engaged user base of like people willing to try things. So as soon as something, you know, gets out there, you can get the entire crypto market. And even though, you know, the universe of like crypto users today is small relative to other pockets of consumer app usage, it's actually a very valuable group of users because crypto users are used to, you know, spending, let's call it like $3 to $5 minimum just to like try out an app, which is unheard of in like the standard consumer app world. And so even if you get, you know, a tenth of the users, but they're using it in a crypto-esque way, you know, those users are like 10x more valuable. So there is like some interesting commentary there.
Yeah, that actually is a very good point. Like crypto users are really used to spending small fortunes even just to try things out. We even saw it the last bull market with the NFT minting craze that was going on, which is not exactly that, but still, it's along those lines where we would pay it. I don't know about you, but we would pay like obnoxious minting fees just to get that line of code, which is absolutely amazing. But when it comes to
the pendulum swings on that one a bit, but
my next question is like, for example, Privy, like you're building it you're really a B2B company. You're selling to other companies. So, and you mentioned this. Behavior and identifying a behavior in the sense of in the consumer crypto markets. Like, what are some parallels that you believe are really important that a founder in crypto needs to draw and needs to keep in mind when it comes to building a consumer company in crypto and when it comes to building an actual B2B company on the blockchain space?
Yeah. Lots of thoughts here. So on the B2B side, because that's where we have the most direct experience, is the market you're serving, if you're B2B in crypto, moves incredibly quickly. And preferences change very quickly. Like a great example is from December of last year to January of this year, Farcaster went from something that people were aware of, like loosely excited about, but not building around, to like the thing that every consumer app founder wanted to build on top of. And so sometimes you'll see shifts like that in the market. And if you're a B2B business, like you have to be more disciplined because you think it's, you know, a fad and you can't kind of build around every trend that picks up steam. And other times you're like, this is real. This is important. We need to really establish like a brand around supporting this up and coming trend because it's here to stay. And with Farcaster, like as we saw Frames launching and as we saw the sign in with Farcaster standard being developed, we recognized like how powerful those building blocks were and how much innovation it unlocks for consumer app builders. And so we had to make sure we were all over it, natively supporting a lot of these new building blocks so that developers who wanted to build in the Farcaster ecosystem could do so as seamlessly as possible on Privy. So one of the biggest challenges of B2B we face is B2B identifying those moments where there's something special happening in the market. There's real developer enthusiasm for building around a new trend, and we can support it natively as quickly as possible. You can't do that for everything, but like you have to be the trends that are picking up steam as early as possible. So that's like one big learning. Another is just like being as native in the market as possible. So I spend like 60% of my time playing around with every crypto app that launches in some way, shape, or form. I think, you know, one of the things I've learned from that is like a lot of these apps, when they first launch, are early, iterative, like building in public experiences. And it's easy to brush a lot of them off as like, no one's ever going to use this. But you have to like change your perspective on it and sort of like suspend disbelief and think through like, instead of why won't someone use this, like how big could this become if like the trend that this developer is tapping into is it sort of like reaches its like fully iterated conclusion and is like a really well-polished, beautiful app experience. And then helping the developer however you can like get to that vision. And so finding the like, what's the kernel of value, excitement, and really leaning into that and being a sounding board for the team. And, you know, maybe you're seeing something that the team didn't see, or maybe the team sees something that you didn't see, and just really like genuinely partnering with teams and helping them evolve the products they're building. That's like another tactic I think that works like really well in building in B2B is just like genuinely and deeply engaging in the products that you're seeing getting built. And those are like two that come to mind. The third, I guess, is we're like a very traditional software business, like in terms of our business model. Like we have a very generous free tier. And then once customers cross that, we just have like standard subscription tiers that customers can pay for with either a credit card or a crypto. But there's like no tokenomics, no sort of like on-chain business model innovation. And, you know, every couple of days, someone's like, Privy should launch a token or do something with tokens. And our take is like, that's not gonna, in the immediate term, like help us with being the most valuable tool for our customers. And so it's more of a distraction than good. But I think that is like a temptation for a lot of B2B businesses is to move in that direction. So that's another thought. Yeah, hopefully that's helpful.
Actually, really grateful that you mentioned that in the first place. Like, and I'm quite fascinated of how focused you are on the user and actually providing value to the user rather than just going, okay, we're launching a token now. It's going to go and it's going to explode. But as you said, like, what is the actual value that can provide to the user? Will it even be beneficial? Or is it just another distraction from what we're actually building? Which is a loop a lot of founders like actually get in, and they should pay attention.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like a bit, a question like a bit on the other side, which is since you're an investment banker, you've been in the space for a long time and also previous funded by some of the blockchain VC funds and similar. What are some things, like, especially for founders that are looking for funding in blockchain, what are some things that they should really pay attention to or maybe get done before they even start looking for funding?
Great question. Advice with fundraising, try and hold off on fundraising until there is something that investors will be genuinely excited about happening with the business. And so at different stages of the company, that means different things. But in the earliest stage, a lot of teams will, for good reason, want to go out to market with an idea. And I say for good reason because, like, it's hard to sustain, you know, business building without funding in some way, shape, or form. And so it'll be tempting to say, like, here is my idea of how I can build something valuable in the crypto space. But until there's, like, some real market validation in the form of, you know, whether you have, like, a design partner, if you're building in B2B, for example, like what we did, if you have, like, a design partner or a few companies that you're sort of building the product around that the investor can talk to and speak about, okay, this is a real problem that many people in the crypto space face, and I think Team X is doing a good, unique job of tackling that problem. You know, that's such a more compelling pitch to an investor than, you know, here's my idea, my view of, like, how I'm going to build something in the market without any concrete proof point for the investor to get excited about. So I think, like, the more you could have, like, something tangible for the investor to see that is independent of your story as a founder, I think the better positioned you are to raise and the more you can be in, like, the driver's seat of a fundraising process. And so at different stages of the company, that could be, you know, instead of, like, having design partners, you can have, like, a bunch of customers for the investor to talk to or metrics that the investor can get excited about or growth. So the more you could put yourself in the driver's seat for a fundraising process, the better. Yeah, that's my biggest advice.
Yeah, so really being in the driver's seat and feeling comfortable with where you're headed with your company and the direction you're taking before even going after investments in the first place.
Exactly.
And to wrap it up, like, now with Privy, as you're, like, for example, you're quite flexible. You saw the opportunity in Farcaster. A lot of people are building there. You also have, for example, a plan, like a free plan for the users that don't necessarily have the funds or the funding to afford an app, or they just want to bootstrap it to the max. So you optimize for Farcaster. You also have raised funds in the past, and you're really focusing on providing the best value to the user. Like, where do you see Privy going in the next few years? Like, what is the roadmap and where are you really headed?
Great question. Yeah. So today, Privy is the easiest way for any developer to onboard their users to an on-chain app. And so we've kind of done a good job of getting users in the door, getting users up and running. And our goal right now, almost all of our product investment is, you know, how do you take things a step further from there? So not just getting users in the door, but how can you make it as seamless and easy as possible for users to get, like, maximal value out of the on-chain experience you're building? And the two areas of investment where we're spending the most time right now are, one, around account funding. How can we make it as simple and easy as possible for users to get assets into the wallets that we help provision so that users can transact seamlessly in the app? So we're doing a bunch of work with, you know, OnRamp so that users can use fiat to get assets in the wallet. We just recently launched a native integration with Coinbase's OnRamp. We have a native integration with MoonPay. We're doing a lot more work there about, you know, getting assets in the wallet, making sure the assets are on the right network so the user doesn't have to think about anything like bridging or gas or any of these other complexities. Just make it easy for the user to sign up and use whatever payment method they're comfortable with to fund the account. So that's one area of investment. And then the other big area of investment is around cross-app experiences. So how can a user easily, with an email, sign up, get in the door on OpenSea, buy a few NFTs, and then sign up with that same email on Blackbird and use those NFTs to unlock experiences in the Blackbird app? I think that's like where the crypto design space becomes like 1,000x more exciting, is if, you know, you could allow these apps to permissionlessly build on top of each other. And that's always been something people have been excited about with crypto. It's just never been easy and seamless for users who don't care about crypto to take advantage of. And we think we have a big role to play there on making cross-app experiences as seamless as possible. So between funding work and interoperability work, we think we could do a lot to make sure that users who get in the door on crypto apps are able to get as much value out of the apps as possible. And our like dream big hope is that if we do a good enough job with that, then we'll make it more compelling for, you know, the average incremental founder who's deciding on their tech stack to say, you know what, it's actually worth building on crypto rails because I get all these benefits from it. So hopefully us, alongside like many other important parts of the crypto stack, can make the crypto app economy explode from here.
That's absolutely amazing. Like, I love how you're really focused on the big vision and actually providing so much value to the ecosystem. Max, before we end up, before we end the interview, like, is there anything else that you'd really like to communicate and share with blockchain founders or venture capitalists out there that you believe is really important for them to hear?
Yeah. One, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Thank you.
I hope we could do it again soon. And yeah, parting thought is, biggest advice is just engage with everything out there. Like, when you see someone excited about something in crypto, it's our responsibility as people in the market to use it, form our own view of it. And if you see something that you're excited about in the app, like, share that sentiment so more people can find it. We all need to support each other in getting the word out, helping highlight things that are cool happening in the space. There's a ton to be excited about, but it's on us to engage with what's out there and spread the word.
Max, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, so fun being here, and see you soon.
Thank you for tuning in with us on this episode of The Optimism Show. Don't forget to subscribe and actually share this episode with your friends and connections that might benefit from the insights shared in this episode. And if you'd like to get the notes as well as the short summary of the entire learnings from this episode and the key points discussed with our guest, go to optimism.show/insights. And until next time, stay optimistic.